Welcome to Dream It, Dare It, Do It, Live the Life You Want. I'm Jasmine, I'm your host. Believe it or not, season six. I cannot believe that we're on season six. It's been a ride. I've had a lot of fun. I don't know if you guys have listened to season five, but honestly, season five was transformative for me, and I appreciated every single episode. And I'm looking forward to season six that is actually starting today with Christina Bruce. Hi, Christina.
Hi, Jasmine. I'm excited to be the first conversation for season six.
You're the first. So everybody knows that I usually don't even know my guests when they pop up. I go on feel, and then, you know, you reached out to me, love the feel. I said, go for it. Let's go. We're going to have this chat. And my dog wants to come and say hello. You want to, baby, come. It's season six. You need to come and say hello. Here you go. Season six. Hope they saying hello. And so therefore, Christina is a friend of a friend. So everybody who's listened before knows Pam Hall, and Pam knows Christina from the Change Coach certification that you guys did together earlier this year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so thank you so much for reaching out and for coming on. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's always interesting having these conversations, especially ones where we don't know where they're going to go.
Exactly.
And it's also nice to like meet you.
Same here. So guys, before we came on, we had a little chat and we were talking about, well, I was saying how I do not rely on my memory as much as I used to. And I think we've had these conversations before in the past, where I don't use my memory as a tool like I used to before, where, you know, I used to memorize kind of things and, you know, have them at the tip of my tongue whenever I wanted them. I don't use that anymore. I kind of live in the moment, and I know it's difficult to understand for a lot of people that how could you not use your memory, because we're so conditioned, right? As at an early age, like when we go to school, right, they tell us, okay, this is how you write house, remember how to write house, right? So we learn very quickly that memory is important. And so when I say this, I get these looks. What? You don't use your memory? What you talking about? But the fact of the matter is, when I need my memory, it's there. You know, and I had this little period where I freaked out because my mother had dementia. And so, you know, when it first started, I started out with not relying on my memory and not having it, you know, at a flip of a finger, like I usually had it. I would freak out. It's like, oh my God, you know, I'm in my 50s. Is Alzheimer's starting? Oh, like I would freak out. And then I got myself coaching, you know, because everybody, we're coaches, but we've got coaches. And, you know, they were like, well, your memory's there. Like, when you need it, it shows up. When you really truly need it, it shows up. And I kind of started noticing that too, you know. And so I really love that whole aspect of it where it gets a little controversial for people. You know, what do you think of that? What do you think of memory and living in the moment?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I'm with you, and I've been exploring that for myself. And as I've moved into, so I actually moved into doing now my coaching practice as my only thing I'm doing since about a year ago. I was doing it on the side where I was working a full-time job before. And so this has been a really interesting exploration, because not only I'm quote unquote my own boss and I have the freedom, it was interesting to notice how I wanted to bring the structure and the lists of to-dos and that pressure from being in that corporate environment into this new life for myself. And part of me wanting to move out of that old job was so that I had this freedom, you know, that I didn't have to like work a 9-to-5. And yet I noticed I was just in this habit of recreating a 9-to-5 essentially. Yeah. And so I noticed that so much fear was driving that, you know, so much fear, thoughts of like, I have to be on top of things. I have to be doing certain things or else nothing will happen. And so I've been really playing more with myself of what if I can just be, I guess you could say, guided or just notice what it is that I feel drawn to do at any moment without needing to have a list of to-dos or shoulds. And it's interesting because my mind will sometimes kick up a fuss with that. It's like, you can't just see what happens. Like you have to plan some things. And there are some things that I do plan, but I know when they're coming and it's like, I'll get to it. If, you know, say like if I'm sending out an email or something weekly, but otherwise I'm like, what if I could really just listen to what comes up for me in this moment of what I want to do and allow that to be enough. And if there's a more of a trust there, like, can I just let go that something else is guiding this? I don't have to be in control of all of this. And it's just been really interesting. There's still like a fight with the mind. Like my mind will come in and just be like, I don't know about this. Like you got to be like working hard today. You can't just take time to clean out your bins that you've been wanting to do where that's yet what really felt like I wanted to do. So that's what I can say about it. This is like, I'm moving into this space of kind of experimenting and playing around with what do I feel drawn to do, inspired to do, even if it's not work related during my work day, and seeing kind of what shows up with that.
You know what, as you were talking, what it reminded me is that when we create these lists of, you know, things to do, they're just suggestions, you know, it's an idea. It's a thought, you know, okay, well, I'd like to do this and I'd like to do that and I'd like to do this and I'd like to do that. And so it's okay to have a list. You know, I think that we get into trouble when we start beating ourselves up about not doing the list. It's like, okay, but you're the one who made up the list. Like if you made up the list and you don't create the list and you don't finish the list or you don't check the list, that you're allowed to move that item to another day. You know what you're even allowed to do? You're allowed to delete the thing from the list.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we kind of forget that we're creating it.
Yeah. And then it kind of makes me wonder too, where do some of these ideas come from? Like, are they conditioned in us? Like, are they thoughts, things that we think we should be doing or that we have to be doing or we need to be doing in order to make something happen? And so I just find for myself, there's always a, but if I don't get this done, well, then what's the quote unquote fallout of that? You know, and it's usually this fearful thing of like, oh, well, then this isn't going to happen. And then this isn't going to happen. Or this person's going to think this way of me or whatever. So there's just this control that's wanting to happen. And then also it can be tied to protecting some identity. You know, me as the person who gets all the things done or who doesn't move things and always meets their commitments or whatever it might be. So that's kind of what I find interesting. But I notice that, like, at least for me, it's usually this, it's a fear. It's just this fear that I don't know, like somehow I need to be in control of all this. And so even when I see that arise, and then can I let that one go too? Like, can I see how that will go? And then when that's not there, well, now there's no problem anymore to move it or delete it, like you said.
Yeah, it brings to it, it brings you to another level. If you can, like, see, I've told you off camera, I was telling you that what I do is I help people, you know, solopreneurs, and I help them make things happen in their business. So whether it is, you know, create an event and then all the tasks related to the event and how do we get there, right? Mm-hmm. They're like, when, as I work with clients, the things that I see is that there's flow, like we can get into a flow, and then there's going to be these kind of tasks that are going to show up that are just the flow. If I need to create, if I have an event and I want people to know, well, here are the things that I need to do. I need to do an email, I need to do an ad, I need to do the copy, like there's all of this stuff that needs to be done, right? But then there are these tasks that are, like you said, generated by our ego or our thought, or like, I have to look professional, right? That's kind of like that I have to look professional thought is a, you know, let me shoot myself in the foot, because the I have to be professional is so made up by thought, right? Because yeah. How professional looks to me doesn't necessarily look professional to you.
Yeah.
You know, so that kind of like puts us in this whirlwind of things that, you know, we're creating in order to meet this. Mm-hmm. And then it, like you said, it creates this fear in us. And if we don't do the task, then we're not professional. But if we can let go of the thought, I need to look professional, and trust that you are professional. You don't need to look professional. You are professional. Then when you let go of that, then the tasks are more in flow.
Yeah.
And then you can even start noticing, like I still do tasks. I've got like 25 clients that I do tasks for, right? And I create my tasks, and then I go, okay, this one I want it to look good. Oh, this one I want it to do because of this. And I can just, I start seeing it, right? I start, when I'm looking within at the feeling that I'm feeling that is not making me feel good, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. then I can see, okay, that wasn't flow. Because yeah. When I'm in flow, I get goosebumps when I'm in flows. Like I get so like, oh, this is working, this is great. And I that's the way that I know that I'm in the right, going the right way. Right. Mm-hmm. And things, there's no, oh my God, I have the French word. There's no sticks in your wheels. You know, if you think we want to roll, right, there's nothing stopping you. Like mm-hmm. you're in flow, so you're running.
Yeah.
You're rolling. And if you don't pay any attention to that thing that's gonna stop your rolling, then you're gonna get to where you wanna go.
Yeah. I mean, it makes a lot of sense, because the only thing that I can ever see that, you know, stops just what makes sense to do next is some idea that would pop up that seems to be fear-based, like what are other people going to think, or I don't know, whatever it might be. And it's like, if that was let go, what would stop you from doing the next thing and just speaking it or saying it in the way that makes sense to you?
Yeah. I was a singer, right? So I learned this long ago. I started singing in front of, you know, in public, in I'm going to say mid-20s. And I remember the first few shows that I did, like I would get on stage and I was so stressed, like my mouth was dry, my lips was sticking to my teeth, like it was like hell, you know. And I'd start singing and I'd start doing it, and after the third or the fourth song, I'd be fine. You know, it was all gone. And I was like, and I used to say, well, it's just because now I'm used to being in front of people and all of this, which is, you know, in some way it is true. But there was one thing that I realized is that I had all of this thinking before I got on stage. Mm-hmm. I had all of the thinking about, well, what if I'm off key? Like, people are going to laugh at me. What if I don't have the right words? They're going to say I'm bad. Like, I had all of this stuff pre-show, right? And then when I got on the show, on stage, and that was all there, and I was afraid, and I was really in my head, is that the right word? Is that the right tone? And I had no fun at all, right? Because I had to reach all of that. And at one point, because the nature of thought is it disappears, right? If you don't hang on to it, it actually disappears. And as they say in the music business, the show must go on. So if you screw up, just keep singing, you know? And if you have the wrong note, well, oh well, you know, you have to continue. You have another 2 hours of show to go. So you're not gonna stop because of one note, right? And once I started seeing that, I was like, wait, but if I thought logically, I'd be like, do I ever sing on the off key? And I was like, every single show. Do I ever forget the words? Every single show. And then I was like, how many times have people come up to me to laugh in my face? Never. How many people came up to me and told me that I was really bad? Never. Like, all of that, like, it just, it kind of like, I got clear about, honestly, when I'm out of my head, I don't care. I'm doing it for fun. I'm doing it for the love of doing it. I'm doing it because all these people start dancing and they have fun and they go, I love that song. And that's why I was doing it. And I, you know, at the end, it was just like, give me a mic, man. Give me a mic. Give me a song. I'm going to do it, you know? And I couldn't believe that that's where I was, because there's so many singers that are like, I throw up before every show. Mind you, I've never been in front of 2.5 million people. But so that could be another experience for me. But in those times now, I'm just like, okay, I'm going to talk, I'm going to be me. And am I going to screw up? Yeah. Am I going to say the wrong words? Yeah. Am I going to say something that people will disagree with? Yes. But I'm not doing anything maliciously. And so I'm at peace with everything, you know? Mm-hmm. And that for me is just so relieving, you know? Mm-hmm. I feel like I went on a rant.
Well, and you know, it's interesting too, because something that that's been kind of freeing for me, or is something that continues to be when I remember it, is that I also, you know, it's not about those thoughts never coming up or those feelings coming up. Like, you can still be with the feeling of that thinking and continue doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
And so it's like, there can be a freedom in like, I'm okay with this being here, like this feeling of insecurity or anxiety or self-judgment or whatever it might be. That's the result of this thinking. And it's certainly not the first time I've had this thinking. It's not going to be the last. Mm. And it's not a problem. Like, the more I can see that it's the result of thinking of this habitual mind, the way that it's been conditioned and the way that it's interpreted things and its past experience, it's like, you know, I can sit here and still feel a little bit of nervousness or a little bit of tension. And that's only a problem if another thought comes in that's like, no, you should be totally cool as a cucumber and never feel these things again. And it's like, But if I can even sit here and be like, it's okay that I feel this, like that doesn't mean there's a problem here. It doesn't mean something's wrong. It doesn't mean that I'm bad or that I'm unsafe. Like, it's okay.
You're human.
It just means I'm human with a brain that has thoughts or yeah, like it's just the way that it goes. And that I find has been, I think it's like making peace with my humanness is something that has been my latest foray, because I think a lot of, especially when we're on this personal development path, it's always about like being better. And there's some better to get to that, of course, just never ends. But it's like, no, what if it's like, you just be okay with all of it, like the human experience, it's okay.
Yeah, for me, I saw, that's one of the things that I saw in season 5. I saw that I didn't like being angry. Like, yeah. I wouldn't, like the emotion of anger would show up and I would instantly judge it as wrong, and it shouldn't happen. And when it did happen, sometimes I couldn't, I'm going to say control, not really the word I want to use, but I'm going to use it right now. Like, I couldn't control it and it would still come out. And then once it came out, then I was like, oh my God, now people know you were angry. Oh, that's the end of the world. It was just like such a spiral of craziness that would show up in my world. And now I'm just kind of like, okay, well, I'm allowed to be angry. Like, I can be angry. I'm like, there are things that I get angry about. Like, I'm allowed. Oh, and sadness. Like, I'm allowed, I wouldn't be sad either. Like, I can't be sad. No, I was strong. I was a strong one.
Yeah.
Couldn't be sad either.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely relate to that anger one. Like, I think that's a very common one too, in general for women, because I think there's like maybe a long history of like women can't be angry. You know, men can be angry, but women can't be angry. And so I feel that too when it comes up. When anger comes up, it's immediately like, you shouldn't be feeling this. Like, you got to be better. You got to be more compassionate, or you know better, or whatnot, or that's just your ego. And like, it goes into this self-blame of, yeah, get rid of this anger, overcome this anger. Yes. So I mean, I can see like that would be an emotion that still is up for me to see a little bit differently, maybe.
So during my holiday, so I took August off, and during the first week of my vacation, Christina, I haven't cried like this in ages. Like, I would cry at every little teeny weeny thing. Something would happen and I'd start crying. And one of the things that I saw, I was very present to all of the noise in my head. I called it my inner dialogue. I gave it that name. I think it's well known in the world that we have an inner dialogue. And I was so present to it, and so present to how nasty this dialogue was. And so it's in my head, right? So it's hard for me to not associate it to me. It's very difficult, right? So, I mean, I was very, it was very easy to make me cry. Like, you could say, what? And I'd be like, I'm so sorry. You know, I was just like crying for no apparent reason. But there was all this noise in my head that was already screaming at me. And so anything that the outside world would give me, I would cry. And so, and having, you know, the training that I have, I understand that it's all from within. It has nothing to do with you. So I was constantly going, what's going on within, you know? What is going on within? And so that's how I identified all of the mean, how mean I was to myself. And out of the blue, like from within, I also heard, why don't you just love her? Because I really just, this inner dialogue, I hate, I'm just like, and because I associate it to me, then I start hating me. And hating me makes me do, you know, there's a behavior that shows up with this thing. So I heard, why don't you just love her? And I was just surprised, you know, at first of all, hearing it from within me, like, I'm like, oh, huh, well, that's an idea. And I started to understand, you know, all of the nastiness that was inside was, you know, conditioned thinking that I had from, you know, so many years of whatever, you know, I grew up in a house of bullies and, you know, we were that bully family, you know, let me make you feel bad so I can feel better. You know, we, it's kind of how I grew up. So I think that I internalized it somehow, but that was that brought a major shift in me to be able to see that, because the dialogue is still there, right? But if I can understand that the dialogue comes from innocence, you know, comes from my mind, it's not me, bad habits, you know, I can just understand it and then feel peaceful within myself, you know, just understand that, oh, it is not me. It's just a bad habit that I have. And that made a difference for me. Like the 2 other weeks after that, I was not crying all the time, you know? But I think that I also might have released stuff because of all the crying that I did, you know?
Yeah, yeah. That would make sense to me.
Yeah.
And I think it's not uncommon for those real releases to happen when we actually have space. So I think it's not surprising that it happened like the first week that you decided I'm on vacation.
Yeah.
I was reading a book the other day and the woman was talking about she has these mystical experiences. And so what you were sharing kind of reminded me of a story she was sharing of that this feeling, like, so for you, if it was, you know, the bully, you know, that person who's the bully, like whatever it is that is within us that we reject, that we want to push away. So if me, if it's anger, if it's, you know, whatever, that part that says like, this is not okay. It's like, even the sometimes, And I'm not, I don't think this is like, it doesn't hit me that this was what it was like for you, but I can see how sometimes we can even take like love, we want to love it away instead of what if it's actually that part that like really just wants to be loved and accepted as it is, you know, like, and that to me was a sense I was getting from you where it's like, what would it be like instead of, yeah, this angry bully person, that it's okay that it's there. And what if that just wants to be loved? It's just looking for love as it is. And it's like, that feels so much better within me.
You know what? I can hear that. I actually hear that. That makes me smile that you say that, because that it is, the thinking's inside of me. So I guess it's part of me. Somehow, like, it's this part of me that makes sense. Like in the beginning of the call, I said I didn't want the anger, right? So now the anger was showing up and it's just kind of like, okay, well, you're angry, you know, like it's, you're angry, you're sad, you're whatever it is, just you are who you are.
And I even just wonder, you know, how much of it, like, I don't know. I like to think sometimes we're born into this kind of collective consciousness and this energy. And I just sometimes wonder, like, how much of, like, is it really us, or is it something moving through us? Like, is it ours? You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much of it is what's mine.
But you know what? If I accept it in myself, I'm going to accept it in you. Like, you know, like if I can welcome it, like, and not, because I can see how, you know, if somebody comes to me angry, I will reject them.
Yeah.
You know, I won't want to be with them.
Well, it makes sense, because we can't, if whatever we can't be with within ourselves, we can't sit with it with somebody else.
Yeah.
Because it just brings it up within us. Yeah. And, you know, in that sense of it's how so everybody's funny. A mirror.
Yeah, I've never seen it. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a good way to identify, like, what am I rejecting within myself? What do I reject in other people? Just identifies, like, what I'm not okay with within myself. Mm-hmm. Because if I truly was okay with this feeling, I could be present with it in somebody else, because I'm okay with it.
Mm. Mm.
So I'm looking at all of the different aspects that come in, you know, what are these things that I think are bad? Like, is it the fact that, you know, I want to be right? Or, you know, whatever these identities, that these ideas that feel kind of shameful or sort of icky. And it's like weird, because there's this, it's like I secretly want to feel this way, but then I also reject it because it's bad and shameful. So then I'll see it in other people and be upset. Oh, like, they're like this. Yeah. Well, it's because I don't want to be that within myself. And yet, like, that is me too. Like, I am like that. So the more it's like, I can be like that, it's like, oh yeah, I see, that's them wanting to be like this. I know that, because that's in me. Yeah. And I mean, when they say, like, we're all just mirrors anyways of each other, it really does show us, like, what is within us that we have rejected and learned to believe is bad and is not okay. And so we're pushing away and trying to move ourselves beyond.
Yeah, we try to move beyond when actually we just need to see it and own it. And then that will make us move beyond.
Yeah. I mean, it's in that, yeah, it's not needing to be, it's not needing to move beyond, like,
yeah,
being with,
I like it.
Yeah.
We can be with anything. Christina. Guess what?
But
we are past our hour, our time. It wasn't an hour. We were supposed to do 30 minutes, but we're past our time.
We're past already.
Wow. Yeah, we're past our time. So, but before we leave, like, people who are listening, if people who are listening, like, liked what you were talking about, and like, how do they reach out to you?
Yeah, so the work that I actually kind of specialize in as my focus is, we didn't even talk about that, but it's all around actually the body, mm-hmm. and accepting our bodies, which, if we talk about things that we reject, you know, we're taught to, that's a huge one, right? Rejecting our bodies and how it looks and how it's acting and all those kind of things. So I really specialize and focus on working with people around that, but it also goes beyond that too. So I'm open and love speaking with people about other things related, really anything, because I find once I work with people, it's like, it's never really about the body anyways. but anyways, so my website is ChristinaBruce.com. So it's Christina with a K, and I'm most active on Instagram at ChristinaBruce Coach.
Yes.
And Facebook, and I have some YouTube going on. So those are my main ways.
Maybe I can invite you for another episode later on, and then we can talk about, you know, what you do, because, you know, Jasmine has a lot to say about the body. That rejecting my body is definitely a conversation you and I can have. And
well, we'll need more than an hour, because exactly. I could talk for three about that.
I got you. Okay, well, listen, I want to thank you very much for this conversation. It was fun. I liked it.
Good. It was nice to talk with you and meet you, Jasmine. Thank you for having me in conversation with you.
Thank you so much. To everybody else, thank you for tuning in. And I'm looking forward to more conversations throughout the season. I've already got a few guests lined up that I believe you're going to love. And till then, I'm going to say, dream it, dare it, do it, live the life you want, and see you next week. Bye.